Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here, and while we do have quite a bit of news to go through, I thought it would be worth spending some time today with how tough the markets have been, sharing some of my thoughts, a message really for Tesla investors as we work through this period of time. We'll also, of course, talk about the CPI report this morning, and then we've got a fair amount of other impactful news on Tesla, and we'll talk a little bit about earnings from Rivian. All right, so the NASDAQ today down 3.2% after the CPI report this morning came in higher than expected. We'll talk about that. Tesla down 8.25% to close at $734. Now trading below 100 times trailing 12-month GAAP earnings. This is the lowest price-to-earnings ratio, of course, that Tesla has ever had. That's also 64 times Q1's earnings annualized. And if we look forward, so over the next 12 months, Q2 this year through Q1 next year, it's very possible that right now Tesla is trading at less than 50 times the next 12 months' earnings. Now, if you're wondering why I keep talking about the earnings multiples, I would recommend you go back and listen to part of a conversation I had with Pierre Ferragu back in November. There's about a four-minute segment of this that I think will be very helpful in understanding that, and that starts at 5:25. Pierre talks for about 3 minutes there, and then I give my thoughts at about 8 minutes and 20 seconds in. So I'll put a link to that in the description, but the gist of it is that a company that's growing earnings at 50% or more per year, with a relatively high probability of being able to sustain that growth over a multi-year time horizon, should have a pretty high earnings multiple because, let's say you're at 50 times earnings, and earnings grow by 50% over the next year, well, then if the price stays the same 1 year forward, then the price to earnings multiple is down to 33. And 1 year forward from that, another 50% growth in earnings, price to earnings ratio down to 22. 1 year further, and the ratio would be less than 15. So you get the point. Eventually, that price to earnings ratio is just not going to drop any further. And even if it maintains a certain level, then all of a sudden, if earnings continue to grow at 50% per year, well, the stock price is also going to grow at 50% per year. Getting a 50% return on your capital every single year, that's not something that the market allows. If that looks like a scenario that the market thinks is going to happen, then the price will shoot up to reflect that and lower the possible return. Of course, that has the effect of increasing the return for those that already own that asset. That's basically what we have seen happen in Tesla over the last 2 years, and the further this goes in time and the more Tesla's earnings grow, the more likely we are to see a similar scenario unfold again. Maybe not to the same degree, Tesla was a much smaller company then and even more significantly underpriced, but the point is that eventually something has to give, and as long as Tesla keeps executing on their roadmap, then it will be the share price going to higher levels. It's just math at that point, as long as Tesla can execute. When the share price gets lower, that's when the market is worried that Tesla can't keep that kind of growth going, whether they believe that right now Tesla is in some sort of margin bubble that's not sustainable, or they're not going to continue to be able to grow deliveries at the rate that they have, or that for some reason when they get to a certain level, 4 million, 6 million, whatever, they're just going to stop growing at that rate. Those are the fears that allow the share price to stay low, but over time, those fears dissipate. Right now is certainly not one of those periods. Fear rules the day right now. But that will change. Things will change. An economic turmoil that often benefits the strongest and most disruptive companies as some of the fat in the market gets trimmed out, and the strong companies are there to soak up that market, to soak up the talent, to soak up assets at a reduced price, and then flourish afterwards. Tesla isn't just a strong, disruptive company. Tesla is elite. They'll get through this, and all of a sudden we'll wake up, and Shanghai will be producing 1.5 million vehicles per year. Austin will be 500,000, Berlin will be 500,000, Fremont will be 500,000. Altogether, that's already 3 million vehicles. It's extremely likely that Tesla is within a year of that type of run rate, when just 6 months ago, 12 months ago, some analysts, even more bullish analysts, were expecting Tesla to produce that many cars in 2030. Don't get distracted, be careful with leverage, hold through it. Tesla is a generational company, and whenever people decide they're tired of being fearful, whether that's 3 months from now or 18 months from now, Tesla's going to be in a great spot. All right, so all that being said, let's zoom back in on today. Let's talk a little bit here about the CPI report from this morning. So the CPI did come in a little bit ahead of the consensus expectations I had noted yesterday. On a month-over-month basis, it was a 0.3% increase in the index, and on a year-over-year basis, an 8.3% increase. Now, both of those figures were lower than March, so if we look at the graph here, we can see that the month-over-month increase for April, that was the lowest, tied for the lowest at least, in the last year. And then as expected, now that we're starting to come up against numbers where inflation started happening last year, the year-over-year increase was not as severe as it was in March, so potentially a little bit of a peak there, but can't really celebrate that too much when inflation is still running above 8%. You can see on the chart here, just like we had talked about for April, May and June last year also saw inflation on the rise, so the year-over-year numbers for the next couple of reports will also have that factor influencing them, so we really should continue to see those year-over-year numbers decline for those periods. And hopefully the month over month stays relatively low. Ideally, you're looking for 0.1 to 0.2 there. That would map out for an annual increase of about 2%. Anyway, quickly looking at a couple of things below the top line. So all items excluding food and energy, so core CPI, this did increase 0.6% month over month. So that's pretty high. That's one of the more troubling areas of the report, I think, in terms of how it's being interpreted. Then in terms of some of the categories, one of the biggest increases was for airline fares. That increased 18.6% in April. And that's a month-over-month number, so that is the largest increase since this started being tracked in the 1960s. But that has a relatively low weight on the index, so it's probably getting a little bit more discussion than is deserved just because it was one of the things called out in the report. And then one of the things I've been keeping an eye on is car prices. So used cars did continue to fall 0.4% month-over-month, so that's the third month in a row. I think that's kind of an interesting one to watch because it's not so heavily influenced by the supply chain. Of course, pretty much everything eventually is at some point, but at least a little bit less so for used cars. New cars, however, did increase month over month 1.7%. So overall, not that great of a report, and that of course increases the fear of faster and further possible rate increases from the Fed. Plus then, obviously, just the negative impacts from inflation in general. All right, so with that report out, tough day for the markets, but Tesla actually doing even a little bit worse than its beta would suggest it should do. So that suggests that maybe there's something else going on influencing Tesla specifically, and generally it's good to be a little bit cautious when talking about reasons like that. You don't want to over-attribute something. These are often unknowns, but with that uncertainty caveat applied, Toyota did say something in their earnings report that I think is dragging on the entire automotive sector today. So first off, they reported that their operating profits in the most recent quarter were down 33% from last year, and then they guided for full-year operating profits to be down 20% year-over-year. That would put their full year at 2.4 trillion yen, or about $18.5 billion, and for this most recent quarter, their operating profit was 464 billion yen, or just below $3.6 billion, which just so happened to be Tesla's operating profit for the first quarter. So Tesla now at, you know, one-tenth of the scale of Toyota, roughly, has posted a larger operating profit, albeit some of that coming from regulatory credits, but still, that is a significant milestone, and that $18.5 billion in operating profit for the year that Toyota is guiding, Tesla may have a shot at eclipsing that. So that's exciting for Tesla. For the automotive market as a whole, though, something Toyota said raises concern. From Reuters' report here, they warned of quote-unquote unprecedented hikes in raw materials costs, which they said they expect to more than double this year. With Toyota saying that, that's a huge, huge red flag for any automotive company. So back to what we talked about at the beginning, this is the kind of stuff that introduces such extreme uncertainty into financial models. On one side, you've got Tesla bulls assuming that Tesla can continue to improve their gross margins as they increase scale, more deliveries, better efficiencies, and that generates operating leverage, so then earnings grows faster than the top line. Under normal circumstances, that's basically what happens, that's what Tesla has been doing. But in this case, what you have on the other side of the argument is that, oh, right now Tesla's margins are high because they raise prices, but their cost increases haven't hit yet. So then the logic is that instead of Tesla continuing to expand gross margins to 32, 33, 35% from the current auto margin X credit of 30%, you've got people looking at this warning from Toyota and saying once these cost increases hit Tesla, well, their margins are going to drop down to 25, 24, 23%. Oh, and as they increase deliveries, well, they're going to have to reduce the price on their car because supply is growing. So, oh, earnings aren't growing at 50%. Maybe they're growing at 10% or 20% or whatever. In that circumstance, all of a sudden, a 100 price to earnings ratio starts to look like, oh, maybe that's actually pretty expensive. So that's the kind of uncertainty that we're working with right now. And even just small changes in that gross margin line, that can have a huge impact on what a model looks like over the next couple of years. Then when you get beyond that couple of year mark, this is something that I talked about following the Q1 earnings report. Tesla has now made it clear that they're going straight to a dedicated robotaxi. Wall Street's definitely not going to model for that, so if you don't model for that, then how do you get continued earnings growth beyond 2024? The answer for that has now become even murkier than when it seemed like Tesla was going to be making a $25,000 compact car. So all of this plays into the heightened uncertainty, and heightened uncertainty creates a lot of opportunity if you can figure out where things are going to go. If you can figure that out, then the next part of the equation is making sure that your time horizon is long enough to be able to survive until everybody else is able to figure that out as well. Look at Tesla from 2013 to 2020. Sometimes it takes a long time, but then again, back to the beginning, the longer that takes, the steeper the ramp is going to be. So yeah, anyway, Toyota's comments on raw materials definitely hurting the outlook for other automakers. All right, a few other updates here. First, a quick one on Giga Shanghai. Tesla has started exporting vehicles for the month. So Shanghai Observer reporting that Tesla has shipped out 4,700 cars and has arranged for another 4,100 cars to be shipped on Friday. So good to see those exports moving. We had talked with the CPCA numbers for April that probably a lot of those were just waiting to be exported, and it looks like that is the case here. As for production at Shanghai, I haven't heard any further updates on the status there. Next, we've got a quick update on the next version of FSD beta. Elon had previously said that maybe that would come out in the middle of this week. Now he is saying on Twitter that that'll probably be this weekend, adding that a lot of code updates means much is discovered during testing, and adding that the release notes on this version will be long. I'm sure at some point here we'll see those release notes leak out a little bit before the actual software update, so we'll keep an eye out for that. Next, we've got a little bit of news from Panasonic. They commented on their earnings call that, quote, "We're seeing continued strong demand from Tesla for 2170 batteries, but also for faster development of the 4680, end quote. By the way, this is one of the beauties of Tesla having not much debt, having a lot of cash on the balance sheet. Again, talking about taking advantage of opportunities, even if Tesla's not battery constrained right now, they can still buy all the batteries that they can possibly get. They can stockpile those and then use them at the point in which they do become battery constrained. I think Tesla had alluded to doing that on the Q1 call in some way. That should help Tesla grow faster in the future, and also it helps their relationship with the supplier when Tesla's not constantly going back and saying, oh no, we don't want that yet because we don't have X, Y, or Z part. Tesla, with their strong balance sheet now, has developed a lot of capability to actually be a supportive partner to their suppliers to also help them get through periods of time like this too. So good to hear those comments from Panasonic. Last couple of things here then, we've just got a quick update from Volkswagen. They tweeted out today that they will be making an all-electric SUV and all-electric pickup for the US market. Production starts in 2026, so still a ways out, and they just shared a couple of very basic renders, and sounds like they will be doing it under the Scout model name. Speaking of all-electric pickups, Rivian today reported their first quarter earnings. They ended up producing about 2,500 vehicles in the first quarter. That was up from just over 1,000 in Q4, so 150% quarter-over-quarter increase. And they did reaffirm their guidance for the year of 25,000 vehicles produced in total. Rivian did also note that if all supply constraints were removed, they believed that they could produce 2 times that amount of vehicles. As for some of their financial metrics, free cash flow was negative $1.5 billion, they lost $1.43 non-GAAP earnings per share, and their operating expenses, which is a line item that I've been very curious about since they were incredibly high in Q4, were a bit lower but still quite high at almost $1.1 billion. For context, that's 58% of Tesla's OPEX in the first quarter, on a little bit less than 1% of Tesla's level of production, and even ramped up to 25,000, only about 3%. I haven't had time to dig into those figures, so I'm sure there's some stock-based compensation stuff influencing that, but even still, very high operating expenses. So that is where we'll wrap it up for today. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast. And we'll see you tomorrow for the Thursday, May 12th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.